This morning, we are continuing this passage that we've been studying on in Acts chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it. And if you don't have a Bible, let one of our ushers bring you one. If you don't have a Bible with you, you left it in the car, or don't own one, or whatever it is, take one of those. And if you don't own one, keep that one and consider it a gift from us. We want to give that to you. Pretty awesome how many Bibles we have given away just in, I don't know, just the last even few months. We just ordered another batch. We order these things by the cases, and somebody in our church pays for those things for us to be able to give them away. And we just ordered cases, like three. We order them by like three cases at a time. And we just ordered cases before Easter. And already we've already had to order cases again. That'll tell you something. I mean, they're just, you guys are either you're using them and God's speaking to you through them, or you're taking them home and propping up the table or something with them. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I hope that God's speaking through them. Scripture talks about how His word never goes out and comes back void. And I know that it's talking about preaching in that passage, but I just believe, and so does the person that helps pay for those Bibles, believes that, you know, that'd be true of His word just to give it to somebody like that. So pretty awesome, pretty awesome. Hope you guys are doing good today. I'm going to reteach part of the passage that I taught last week, because there's just some pieces there that I think that are cool, and I think that God wants to speak through them, and I think that we would do ourselves and He and a disservice to not dig in a little more on a couple of these things and see what it is that God is trying to do here. And honestly, it's going to be some of this stuff that we're going to get into, and you're going to be like, why are we even looking at this? You know, I don't know where this would be such a big deal, and I think that it is a big deal. I think that it's important for us to check out and see what God is saying through His word. And it's okay to study it, you know, more than once, to study it twice or three times or 15 times or whatever. And you know, who knows? Maybe I could have a competition with myself or something and see how many times I could reteach the same passage. Everybody may leave by like week five or something on that. But this passage that we're in is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to look at that today. And it's kind of talking about a big reveal. And we're going to talk about that. I am presently waiting on a big reveal. There's not many times in life I feel like I'm waiting on a big reveal. And I don't know that I'm like just super excited about it, because it's going to cost me money, honestly. But it's one of those things that I guess if like you're a super, super duper geek, super duper nerd, or whatever, that you could really get into. And the main reason I'm getting into it is because one of the girls accidentally didn't mean to knocked my Mac laptop that I use for everything. It's kind of my life sometimes off the couch onto the concrete floor in my basement. And ever since then, it has not been well. I just open up my iTunes and that thing just locks up. I mean, I can't do like anything major with it right now. I just do word processing and printing and checking email, and that's about it. I'm trying to make this thing limp along because I've been collecting up some money to go buy another computer, and it's an older computer, I've been collecting up money to do this. While I was about to go grab a computer one day, and somebody was like, "Hey, man, you got to wait." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And it was somebody that knows better than I do about the Mac world and all this kind of stuff. And they were like, "Oh, no, you got to wait because the new ones are coming out." And so Jason, he is a super geek. Are you up there? Yeah, you're still up there. I couldn't tell because of the lights. He's running video for us today. Awesome. Thank you, bud. He is super geek. He loves it. He's super geek. It's not a knock or anything like that. That's stuff that he loves. He texted me later on to tell me that this thing that's happening, that they do this thing once a year, Mac does this thing once a year, WWDC, is that right? It's like WWJD, but it's not. It's WWDC, and it's Worldwide Developers Conference for Mac. This is like it's tomorrow. You know, and almost bought a computer like a week ago. And so like, you know, here comes, you know, the deal. And like, you know, tomorrow is going to be this big conference where they're going to unleash you know, all these newer, better, you know, whatevers that Mac is making right now. One of those things is the laptop like I have, only the much better version. And so, you know, where I was about to buy one, you know, somebody's like, oh, no, you can't buy it. And I was like, well, what's it really matter? And they were like, well, you're going to spend the same amount of money. And a couple weeks later, they're going to make a new one, and you could wait a couple weeks and for the same money, get the newer, better one. I was like, okay, enough said. So I've been making this thing limp along, so I'm kind of waiting for the reveal tomorrow. They're probably going to come out and be like, we've got the new computers, and they cost $1 million, you know, or something. And I'm going to be like, well, I guess I'm going to try to see if they'll sell me one of those old ones. But the thing with the whole idea of something being revealed to us, I think is something that we can understand. We love getting to see new models of things come out and, you know, whether it's clothes or cars or, you know, whatever it is. And in this passage of Scripture, they have this passage where these guys, the disciples and some others, had just seen Jesus ascend back into heaven. Just straight up like a rocket ship, go right back to be with the Father. This amazing thing had just occurred. And then on his way out of town, he looks at him and he says, hey guys, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to wait on me to send the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, we got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was coming back. And so, do they really understand what that means? Probably not. You know, so they go back to Jerusalem. And I'm sure, and we talked about this passage a lot last week, so I'm not going to be some things I'm not talking about it, and if you missed it, you can catch it on the podcast. But in some of that, you know, part of my thinking is, man, they've got to be so excited to want to go tell about all the stuff that they've just seen. Jesus killed, Jesus resurrected, I mean, and then rocket ship up to heaven. I mean, the whole thing, it's like amazing. You know, but they're supposed to go back to Jerusalem and wait. And so they go together and wait together, which we see this, you know, see this continuing theme of community here, where these folks are in one mind, they're in one accord, they're praying. We see that all in chapter 1 after Jesus has gone back, and they've gone back to be in Jerusalem. And so then in Acts 2, we have this passage. Again, we read this last week, but we're just going to read these four verses, and some amazing things happen. And they've gone back to wait, and they're waiting on the Holy Spirit. And the promise is that it's coming, and so then it comes, and how it comes today is part of what we're going to talk about. And so I want us to read this in Acts 2, verse 1. It says this, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And utterance there is meaning, you know, the ability to speak, the ability to say the things that they were saying. Now last week, just for clarity purposes, for anybody that's just joining us, I'm at least going to say this much, because a lot of people get freaked out with the whole speaking in tongues thing. And really, that's because most folks don't have a biblical understanding of what that means. A lot of folks don't. I won't say most folks, but a lot of folks don't. And I hadn't for years. And, you know, but I think for us to understand that when this is talking about, and you read through this passage and you keep reading on, and we read through this whole thing last week and we talked about this in great length. But this is talking about other languages. Tongues, you know, could be changed with languages right there. And what you see is that there were people from every nation on the scene when this happened, and all these dudes, God began to speak through all these folks and begin to speak all of these different languages. The thing, here's the kicker, they didn't know these languages. It wasn't like they were, you know, oh yeah, that's my second language or whatever, and they start speaking in their second languages. These were languages they had never spoken before, but they were actual languages of other nations. And so, and Scripture teaches that what they were saying, it wasn't just a bunch of gibberish or something. They were talking and speaking and basically teaching of the great things that God had done. If you go read through verse 13 of this passage, you will see that for yourself. Again, we talked about all that last week. So in what we've got going on here, we've got this amazing account of something going down, and God is revealing himself here. He's revealing himself here. If you look, we'll just go back to verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. We see the community aspect. They've had it. They had it through chapter 1. They're having it through chapter 2 here, continuing on. And they're together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. A sound like a mighty rushing wind. I'll be honest with you, when I first read this and even taught on it last week, I had in my head, this is a wind. This is the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It doesn't say that it is the wind. It says it's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And I think that I think that's worth noting. And as we talk about some of these things in the next few minutes, some of this stuff may not seem so amazing to us because we just got through watching Avengers in 3D on the IMAX, you know? But we're going to have to turn back the clock a little bit, okay? And just remember kind of what things were like at that point in time. You know, we can imagine what the sound of mighty rushing wind is like. We can imagine that because why? I could probably, like, right off the cuff, just like tell the guys in the booth, like, hey, go somewhere online and play the sound of mighty rushing wind over our speakers right now. And it would just go, you know, whatever. That's some great wind stuff there, you know? But here's the deal. These folks didn't have like some Bose surround sound system in their house back then, okay? They didn't have a set of subs. They weren't, you know, there was no like, let's just listen to some wind, okay? No, I mean, the most listening to the wind that they might do might be sitting in a house and they hear the wind, but that was actual wind. Not the sound of mighty rushing wind by itself, you know? And so here you've got an instance where you've got something supernatural happening. They are getting the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So they're hanging out, they're waiting, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, here it is, sound of a mighty rushing wind. And I mean, like me, I'd be like, where is it? Where is it? Let's go find it, you know. But then I don't know if like they walk out of the living room and they walk in the back room and it's not back there, but it's, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. This is an amazing thing. God is revealing himself that this is him and that he's here and he's doing a thing. And it goes on. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Okay, so we've got sound. We got sound going on. We're hearing the wind, okay? Now we're seeing fire, all right? Fire is now resting on all the people that are here, like waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. God is showing up, and he's showing up through sound, and now he's showing up through fire. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So now we have another sensory deal here. We've got the sight thing. They're seeing fire. You might even be able, and I think this is okay, when we're not going to assume it, but there's a great chance that if it's real fire, and I'm assuming it is because it's God, and why would God make fake fire? He would have real fire, right? If there's fire, there's warmth. So now we're also feeling what is going on. So we've got sound, we've got sight, and we've got feeling. The divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you go into this passage, and we did this last week, if you go far enough into this passage, all of these folks are referred to as Galileans. The reason that they're referred to as Galileans is to make the point that they should not be able to speak the things they were speaking because they were uneducated. Okay? So, again, we have another thing that's happening. They're speaking in other languages that they don't know, but there are people there that know, and those people are getting to hear about the great things that God has done. They've been waiting to tell about watching Jesus be crucified, raised from the dead, go back to be with the Father, and now all of a sudden, just boom, God's like, I'm going to use you guys. You guys are going to speak the gospel to people right here in their languages, and you don't even know how to speak that language. That's some crazy stuff. So you got the wind, you got the fire, you've got speech. So now we're at sound, sight. I'll go ahead and throw feeling in there. Somebody can argue against it if you want, and I won't argue back. And then the last one, you've got actual speech. I mean, like we're nearly covering the map here of every sensory thing we've got going on. Why? Why did God do it that way? Why did God reveal himself like that? That's the question that I'm asking today. Why was it important? I mean, God's God. He could do whatever he wants to. You know, he could send a spaceship of aliens down or something that he may have created that we don't know about. Who knows? You know, I mean, there's a million things out there that God could have done, how he could have done this, but he chose this way to reveal that he's on the scene to these people. I think it's worth noting that the Greek word for spirit, which is also interchangeable with the word wind, is the word pneuma. Pneuma. We use this word and we don't realize it probably to some degree. Some of us do. Some folks probably don't. But if you've ever heard of the term pneumatic, if you've got a pneumatic tool, you know, if you've got an air compressor, dudes love air compressors. We love air compressors, right? Yeah. You know, like we love that kind of stuff. You know, an air compressor uses air to power a tool. That is an air-powered tool, making it a pneumatic tool. The same word that comes from pneuma here is used there because it is air-powered. Pneuma means wind or spirit. It is interchangeable throughout the New Testament. The Hebrew word for this, because you got, in case you didn't know, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew and the New Testament's written in Greek. The Hebrew word, ruah, is used to be the same word also for, you know, wind, spirit, but is also, we see it used a lot in the vein of being breath. So such as where God breathed into man, and the literal translation of some of that would be that he became a living ruah. He became a living breath, living wind. I love thinking about that in the context of this. And Luke knew what he was doing. Luke was a doctor. Luke was a brilliant dude. He knew what was going on. And he was very smart. And he wasn't haphazardly using his words here. He was trying to do his best to help those that were going to read this to understand truly what had taken place. I really believe that he wants us to see that this wind is not just a wind by itself. It is the living wind. It is from God. It is him revealing himself. The sound of the wind, the fire that comes, the speaking through these people were nothing that we could do, only things that God could do. And so when you start thinking about this, you start thinking about, okay, well, you know, I mean, that's cool. You know, I get it. It's cool. God's doing a cool thing. Well, let me just kind of point back. I think it's worth pointing back into other scripture where we see similar things. You ever think about like how many times you see in scripture, you know, where something similar happens? Well, I've just been, over this past week, I've just been kind of thinking and studying on, you know, where do we see other acts of God where he reveals himself and he does so in wind or fire? You've got things such as, remember when Jesus goes out on the boat and he's with the disciples and he's been taking a nap, you know? Remember that one? It was awesome. Jesus took naps, by the way. I think we should all take naps. Can we all get a nap today? Is that even possible? I would love to. Love the thought of it anyway. Jesus is napping. He wakes up. They're in a big storm. They're on a boat. The disciples are freaking out right now, okay? And he goes out there and on the deck of the boat and the storm's doing the thing and everybody's scared to death. And Jesus is like, you guys, what's up, you guys? And they're like, you know, look at this. You know, we're going to die. And he's like, no, it's all good. Boom, done. No storm. Power of God. Power of God over the wind, controlling the wind. You see storms in other passages of Scripture. I mean, go Jonah or other things. I mean, we see these things where the wind is used as showing the power of God. John 3, verse 8 says this. And this is after, actually I'm going to read verse 5 through 8. 5 through 8. John 3, 5 through 8. This is after Nicodemus has come to Jesus and he's asking Jesus, how can you be born? This is right before Jesus, keep in context here, John 3:16, this is right before John 3:16. This is the conversation happening before that that leads Jesus to, you know, God gave his only son, you know, all that kind of stuff. John 3:5 says this, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. All right, you ready for this? Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Tell me that's not tied together. He's making a statement here. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And he's making the statement that, you know, it is of the Spirit that we are born again. It is through Jesus, but the Spirit speaks to our hearts, and we see this in other scripture. He's making this point that, you know, this doesn't, you know, you can't predict it. You don't know. God will do what he wants to do. He is in charge. If you go back to thinking about the wind thing, thinking about the physical senses that are going on here, the sight, the sound, maybe the feeling, the speech, all of these things. Why? Why does God need to do that? What was the point in that happening in this passage of Scripture? What was the big deal? I believe with all of my heart that God wanted to create a moment that they could not, first of all, second guess, is this something else? And secondly, bring them and us here today and whoever else is going to read this to a place where we recognize God for who he is, and that's that he's God. That he is in utter control and that we should be in awe of him. That's a big deal. And for most of us, if I just ask you, hey, everybody show hands of, you know, who thinks God's in control and who thinks that he's got it going on and that he's all powerful, you know, we'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in on that. You know, most of the people here I think would say, oh yeah. Well, here's the deal. We believe that, but we don't act like we believe that a lot of times. We second guess everything. We doubt him all over the place. You say, well, Chris, listen. Either we believe or we don't believe. Where do we really put our chips? Are we really in on this on this idea that he is in utter control of all things? And that if he chooses to have someone speak in a language that they don't know to tell someone else the message of the gospel, can he do that? Can he make fire? Can he blow the wind? Can he blow the wind without the wind and just make the sound? Yeah. And the question becomes, if we really believe that, then we should believe that in everything. In all the things in our lives that we are doubting right now, where is our belief that we have faith in God, that he would do a work in whatever situation, whatever thing it is, that he would be in control? What about the fire? We see fire throughout Scripture all the time. I mean, it's all over the place. You just go burning bush. We'll start there. Burning bush that is on fire, but is not actually burning up by the fire. What happened there? God spoke through it. He revealed himself through it to speak to Moses to change the course of history. Burning bush not good enough for you? How about the pillar of cloud? Remember the Israelites? They're supposed to follow God. And he's like, okay, you guys follow me. Here we go. Boom. Here's a pillar of cloud. Also a pillar of what? Smoke and fire. And so the Israelites following God, follow him by him revealing, this is where you go by following this. How about flames on Mount Sinai, where God reveals himself yet again? We see fire. Chariot of fire, the judgment throne that goes across the sky, the chariot of fire that goes across the sky, God revealing himself. See a little bit of a thing? I mean, dude loves fire. There's no wonder that we men love fire, is it not? Made in his image. Thank you, Jesus, for the fire. You know? Why? What's the deal with it? I think it is safe to say from studying through other passages of Scripture that we can easily see where the wind in of itself shows the power of God, shows the power of God to man. We went to Alabama last year. Many of you went with us on the two trips that we took down there to help folks from the tornadoes. We could look out over hills, I mean, just as far as we could see, it seemed like, and see these huge, huge trees that looked like somebody had reached down from the sky and had grabbed a hold of them about midway up the trunk and then just stripped them straight up and turned them into these large toothpicks standing in the sky. One of the most amazing things that I have ever seen in my life. We looked at that, and we had these discussions the whole time we were there, both times we were there and even after, just at how amazing the forces are of nature. And I think for us to recognize that those forces are God, I think for us to recognize that the reason that God chose to speak and reveal through wind and fire and sound, and I mean all of these things that are coming together here, I mean, again, he could have done it a million different ways, but he wanted to do it where there was no doubt and that we would be in awe. When was the last time you were in awe of who God is? I mean, when was the last time, like, really, I mean, seriously, like, you were just like, you recognized, wow, I mean, he is that amazing. Here's what happens. We don't realize it happens, but it happens, and it happens to every single one of us. We get prideful. We begin to believe, I've got this. And we're not like setting out to believe that. Like, we're not setting out to go, well, I'm going to be prideful and I've got this. But that's what happens. We get busy in life. We start to rush through things. We do everything on our own. And basically, we're telling God, I don't need you. Our pride and our thought that in our abilities and what we're good at, in what we have capabilities, you know, whatever it is, and all of these things that we're able to do in this world, if we're not careful, we seek to fix everything in life through all of those things and no longer need God. And the truth is that we need God. The truth is we can't fix things alone. Yeah, we might be able to turn a wrench or a screwdriver or something on our own. But the truth is that we need God. And here's also another truth. God, And this hurts us. This puts a hurt on us because this is true for all of us. But God opposes the proud. And if there is a reason, a biblical reason, that could be easily argued for why he would choose to reveal himself through these things, was if for no other reason than in that moment to put them all in awe and recognize that he was God and he was in control, basically to get them to drop to their knees in humility and go, you are God and we are not. And we need you. Here's the problem for so many of us. Because we let pride get us and we don't realize we're letting it get us, we wait till storms in our life to recognize who God is, to find ourselves in humility before Him, seeking Him and His guidance for our lives. And we call Jesus our Savior and all these things, but at the end of the day, we're really running the show for us most of the time and not really seeking, what is it that you want me to do? What is it you want me to do, Jesus? God creating all brings humility. There are things that I think that the fire represent, just like I think the wind represents the power of God. You know, we see in Scripture, these are things that we see in Scripture that God speaks through with fire and how they are used in Scripture, not just my opinion, but we see how God uses fire to light the world. We have a big burning ball of fire right now that when we all leave here in a little while, we would be freaked out if it was off. You know what I'm saying? Like if we got out of here in just a few minutes and everybody walked outside and God turned that thing off on us, everybody would be in a panic, right? I mean, and we're not spending much time thinking about that thing hanging out up there in space, but it's there. And He created it. And we are good at creating stuff, but we can't even create a spaceship that can get thousands of miles away from it without absolutely burning up. That's amazing. Not only did He give us light through sun, but again, you got to turn back the clock here and remember that these folks counted on fire many times for as a source of light. We're used to seeing light bulbs. We're used to having technology. They didn't have that. Fire was much more than what we're used to thinking about it than just, you know, wanting to burn something in the backyard. Cheatham County. Fire we also see in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, where there's coals that are used by the angels to touch the lips of Him. And what's that about? That's for a source of purity. We see God doing this for a source of purity to basically cleanse His mouth. And we see that theme go through in the Old Testament where we see that we are called to be like the gold that is put to the fire, that is burned and melted so that the dross, basically the stuff that's the impurities in the gold, would come to the top and would be taken away. And that God sometimes sends us through things so that that will happen in our lives and that those things will be cut out, that we could be made more pure, more like Him. Obviously, fire is for warmth. But I think for us just to even recognize, like even in Revelation 3, you know, where this passage of Scripture is talking about how we're not supposed to be, how we are either, you know, not hot or cold, but we're lukewarm, and that God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to burn hot for with a passion for Him, for His kingdom. I mean, it's all part of it. Luke 3 says this, and we've got this one, Luke 3:16. It says this, it says, John answered them saying, I baptize you with water, but He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. God sends to us the Holy Spirit. The moment that we receive Jesus as our Savior, the process of what that even looks like, even before we come to know Christ, is that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. We don't wake up one day and just go, hey, I'm going to become a Christian today. Just going to church doesn't make us a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes us a car. You know, and I think for so many folks, they've got like, well, I'm good church going people. I come from a good lineage of church people. Well, I do too. And some of the people in my lineage don't know Jesus. They know religious stuff. We don't need religious stuff. We need Jesus. We need a Savior to save us from our sin. God wants us to burn with a passion for Him. You know why? Because He is, and this is Scripture, He is a consuming fire. And if we love Him, then we burn like He burns. We allow Him to consume us. Instead of the things of this world, instead of all the stuff that we spend time and money and so much stuff just trying to do to make ourselves happy and find peace, we never find it. Because it's not there. There's not another person out there that's going to make you happier. There's not more money out there that's going to make you happy. Oh yeah, maybe for the minute. Maybe for the moment. This peace only comes from being in the center of God's will for your life. It only comes in living for Jesus, knowing Him. It's amazing to me, I don't know, it's amazing to me that God would use all of these people at this moment that had been waiting on Him to speak in these other languages, to share the gospel to other people through this amazing thing that He did. And I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, to be honest with you. I'd have loved to have seen the fire that was burning in them and how it consumed them in that moment to be able to share this and consume other people. Because as they were speaking and these other people were hearing of the great things they were done, lives were being changed. We'll go further into this chapter here in the next few weeks, and you'll see a church that has absolutely blown up. And it's because the gospel was preached and the Holy Spirit used that and spoke to the hearts of people, and they received Jesus as their Savior. So why does God reveal Himself like this? I think it's easy to say that God reveals Himself like this and does so at times for us even still, so that we will remember He really is God and that we will be in awe. And that we'll look at that and we'll go, that is amazing. We can't do that. That is amazing. He's God and I'm not. I think secondly, we can safely say that He revealed Himself like this for His glory. For Him to make Himself known. I'm sure that somebody in town probably nicknamed the event, although we don't have it. But I can imagine, like, years later, people referring back to this moment in time and going, hey, you remember that day when God did that whole, like, wind sound fire thingy thing? Remember that? That was unbelievable. He made Himself known. He brought glory to Himself by making Himself more famous, because nobody could take credit for it. Now here's the thing that I'm afraid that we may do. I'm afraid that we may say, well, Chris, you know, that's in the Bible. That was a long time ago. That's the God of the Bible. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we will start to say things like, well, God doesn't reveal Himself anymore. And I'm here to tell you that if we do that, we're making a big mistake. God does reveal Himself anymore. In fact, I would say that most of us are probably guilty that when we have someone come and tell us God has shown me something or God's revealing something to me, that we would probably push them away and go, oh, they're just having a moment. And the truth is that God does reveal Himself. He reveals Himself in our hearts, and He reveals Himself on a daily basis to us. But here's the issue, is that most of us aren't looking for it because we are in pride mode, and we've got control of things, and we've got a track set, and we're doing our thing. And the truth is we're on the wrong track. God opposes the proud, and He does so not to spite us or something like that. He does so because he knows that we need him. And in the moments when we're prideful, we don't realize that we need him. And so if he has to make fire fall down and a wind or sound or whatever, and people say things they've never said before happen to get us to pay attention to him, or turn trees into toothpicks, or floods come through, or whatever it is, he's in charge of it all. He's God, and he's going to show out. And for us to recognize how great he is important for us, because in the moment that we recognize how great he is and that he's God and that we're not, is the moment that we're in awe and that we drop to our knees in humility and we say, I need you. If you're having a hard time seeing God reveal himself to you right now, this time in your life or whatever it is, I'll give you this much. In this passage, the big reveal was he sent the Holy Spirit, which I'm thankful he did. But I think God's big reveal overall, and not to lessen what he did through the Holy Spirit here, but God's big reveal of all was that he sent his Son to die for us. He did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He sent Jesus to give his life on a cross, that you and I might be able to know him eternally. And that's huge. And that by itself, that one reveal by itself, ought to leave us in awe. It ought to leave us in a place where we can't help but want to worship him. Grace, something we don't deserve. Mercy, something we don't deserve. When was the last time you had somebody show you grace and mercy in some big way in your life? They didn't charge you for something they should have. You did them wrong and they offered you forgiveness. God does it every day for us. Every day, that grace and that mercy, he's just shelling it out. And he's like, here you go. You want some more? Here you go. Here's some more. Because Jesus is enough and nothing else is. That's the big reveal. This morning, maybe you're a believer. You've been a believer for a long time. Maybe you're recognizing that you're lacking in humility and that you're faltering on pride at times. Hey, we do it. We all do it. If you don't recognize it, you're probably in it right now. But we all do it. It's okay. Grace, the grace that came from the cross is still enough for that. But it's important for us to recognize that and put it to death. It's important for us to see that and say, I'm not going to live that way. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to wait for some huge storm to have to put me in awe of God. I'm going to do it now as I see and feel God speaking to my heart that I need to change. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've gone to church a long time or whatever. I don't know. But maybe God is speaking your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking your heart right now that you need a Savior. You need to be saved from your sin. I just want you to know if that's where you are today, that's a great place to be, that you can recognize that. And that God wants to save you. Let him do so. We would love to talk with you about that, and you'll have an opportunity to do so at the end of the service today. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that, Lord, that we would be willing to follow you in your reveal, God, that we would reveal the things in our lives that we need to reveal to you right now and possibly to others, God, and that's us confessing sin. God, you've called us to live like you have lived. And God, if we're going to reveal anything that you've called us to reveal, we know that we're called to do that. We know that we're called to put it on the table, God, and that's a part of the process of helping us put that to death. God, we need you to help us do that. God, we need community. to help us do that. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would just be followers of you. God, that we would wholeheartedly want to live for you, that our lives would glorify you in every aspect. Lord God, as you have revealed yourself and put us in awe at times, God, I pray that we would recognize what those things are, God, the big and the small. God, as you continue to reveal yourself to us, God, I pray that we would see how great you are. God, I pray we would see the great and awesome things that you have done. God, and if nothing else, God, I pray that we see what you've done through Jesus. God, it should put us in awe. It should have us in a place where we can't do anything else but say thank you. God, it should leave us speechless. God, we should hardly be able to sing about it. God, our hearts should be full over it. God, for the grace and the mercy that you have shown us and given us through the cross, through the death of your Son, through the blood, through a crown of thorns, through nails, through a breath given up for us. God, we don't deserve it, but God, we receive it, God, and we thank you for it. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would recognize how great you are because of it. Lord, as we continue to worship you, God, I just pray that we would do so in a manner, God, that, Lord, that you deserve, which is something great, something awesome, something incredible, because, God, that's who you are. God, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity we have just to come and even sing about it. God, I pray that we would be humble. God, that we would recognize our need for you, and that we would run after that. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us.